Welcome to Cloudy with a Chance of Podcast with WHIO meteorologist McCall Rydags and Kirsty Zontini. Remember, you can listen to Cloudy with a Chance of Podcast anytime you want on Apple iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and WHIO.com.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us on Cloudy with a Chance of Podcast. I'm meteorologist Kirsty Zontini. McCall is going to be joining us shortly, and we have another meteorologist on deck with us, JP Kalb. He is with us from the West Coast, actually. So thank you, JP, for waking up early over on the West Coast to join us here for Cloudy with a Chance of Podcast. We wanted to talk to you a little bit more because you actually have started a really interesting vlog called Weathering the Autism Storm. So welcome, JP. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me on here so I can talk about my new vlog I help others explore my life as an autistic meteorologist.
I just think that is fascinating, and I think a lot of people are going to start listening and watching your vlog for sure. Obviously, you know, becoming a meteorologist is not an easy feat. So let's start off with the first question that I think most meteorologists get. What got you interested in weather and meteorology?
Actually, the way I got into it was that I sneaked into my grandparents' garage whenever I was visiting them and watching the weather channel on TV. Mm-hmm. But in addition, I was pretty fascinated, and I still remain fascinated with maps, especially as a kid. Like, I would ask my parents and grandparents and one So I used to draw made up forecast maps.
That's excellent. I think that as kids, we all kind of, as meteorology lovers, we all got hooked at an early age.
I would agree. McCall and I are pretty similar. I grew up in Cleveland, and she is from upstate New York. So we were in big areas that dealt with a lot of snow. We also had some severe weather. JP, where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, where I still am today.
Beautiful area. I'm jealous.
So what kind of weather does the San Francisco Bay Area get?
We technically have two seasons. A dry season and a rainy season.
When you were picking up your...
Oh, like three seasons. Stratus season.
For someone that might not know what stratus season is, explain that.
Basically, it's during the summertime. During summertime, we would get stratus coming in almost every morning, or at least for a few weeks at a time. I actually did my senior thesis on it.
Really?
Like, on how it affected the airport delays at San Francisco.
So, did you find out?
Yeah.
I actually found a correlation between the burn-off time and the amount of delays, as well as an equation that predicted the cloud coverage, like... Actually, I modified a cloud equation from a book I was reading to be able to predict if there would be clouds at a certain level or not.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Great job, JP.
Thanks.
What an interesting senior thesis. So let's talk about your college and your schooling then. Where did you choose to go to college for meteorology, and what made you choose that school?
I went to San Jose State for my bachelor's, as it was my local school, and they had a meteorology department. However, I was looking at transferring to other schools that had meteorology or geography at least, mm-hmm. and an autism program. That way I could be more independent. But I did not really have a choice in going to San Jose State, since the dream school I had graduating high school did not get me into the autism program. So that was a big deal breaker.
Gotcha. But you made it work, and it sounds like you got a really good education at San Jose State. That's wonderful. So your blog is Weathering the Autism Storm. And as you had mentioned, being autistic, you know, you want to explain more about your life and the processes that you go through. I'm assuming not only on a day-to-day, I've seen some of the episodes are a little bit just like on your day-to-day life, but do you also explain any sort of meteorology phenomena? So maybe thunderstorms, or if there are other children or adults that are autistic and maybe afraid of storms, you know, what are some of the topics that you think about or that you're planning or have already done?
Well, I did the thunderstorm episode not too long ago. Mm-hmm. I'm actually working on 1 or 2 episodes on rain and winter precipitation.
How long does it take you to complete an episode from start to finish, from the idea you have in your head to you uploading it?
It takes me a few days to do the scripting and editing, and maybe an hour for just shooting the footage.
So I saw the thunderstorm episode, and I noticed that you put a warning at the beginning of it about flashing lights. In your experience, is that something that can impact someone who's autistic?
Absolutely. As flashing lights could be overstimulating for some on the spectrum, as one thing that is common for us autistics is that we could get overstimulated in our senses, like a really bad smell or a really loud noise.
That would make sense with thunderstorms then, that could be either scary or overstimulating with thunder and lightning just in general. And these are weather events that happen daily in some spots. And, you know, especially I guess when you're younger, that could probably mean a lot more.
Yeah.
I did notice, I loved the graphic and the audio of the beginning of your vlogs. Did you create that? Did you have somebody that helped you with it?
I definitely had some help in the title. Like, since I'm not good at drawing or doing graphic design myself.
We all use
that's okay,
help
me
too.
Neither.
I was going to say, McCall and I, we all get help in different areas where we need it.
Yeah, I was impressed because I wouldn't even know where to start to have something like that. Even your warning at the beginning, I thought was so clever and unique. And I watched a lot of your vlogs and they're very interesting, even the ones that are not about weather, because just speaking to autism, there's a lot that I think the everyday person doesn't know. And you do a very good job of explaining, you know, what it's like to be you. And I just want to say thank you for starting this vlog.
It's definitely something that I hope to keep on doing. As so my vlog is not only meant to help the autistics community, but also the neurotypical community, especially if they have areas where they struggle, like budgeting or grocery shopping even.
Yeah, we could all use a little help, and definitely good idea to be able to touch on those topics that are widespread for everybody to deal with. I think that that's wonderful.
So seeing weather on the Weather Channel when you were young inspired you to pursue meteorology. Was there something that inspired you to do a vlog?
Right.
I actually want to have been thought about it for a while, but I really got it going during this COVID-19 epidemic, since I was like, hey, why not just do something anyway?
Good for you. Way to be productive.
And you're, you know, very, very good at it. I think that it's something, a talent that I don't think that you realized you had until you started doing it.
Thanks. As I was pretty nervous getting on camera, as a lot of us probably are.
Yeah. But you're very natural with it. So good for you for starting it during COVID. Way to make a positive out of a kind of stressful and a negative time for a lot of people. But you put your energy towards something that is not only helpful, like you said, to the autistic community, but also to neurotypicals as well. So I think that's wonderful. And hopefully we get to continue to have more people listen to your vlog and watch it. If you're listening to Claudia with a Chance of Podcast, obviously we touch on weather, but JP does as well. But he also talks about a lot of other things. And these vlogs are really, they're interesting and entertaining to watch. How did you learn, I guess, the editing? What are you using to edit? I'm impressed in general, just
same.
Sometimes it's hard for us to just put videos up in general without having to cut a lot of things. But editing is it's hard. So good for you. And what are you using, I guess, to edit?
I'm using the Windows HD Movie Maker Pro.
Okay. Did you just start working on that during COVID, or was that something that you had learned a previous skill?
I knew how to do some on the old Movie Maker they used to have on older versions of Windows. Mm-hmm. But so I had to adapt to this one.
I think there was a lot of adapting in 2020. And during the pandemic, you could go either one way. You could become reclusive and not do much. And there have been a lot of people that have done that. But then there's other people that have branched out and started to do new things and reach new goals, which is something that you've done. So do you have any new goals as we head into 2021 of things that you'd like to do?
I'm actually got a few things that I'm working on that I hope to carry on into 2021.
Is that a teaser?
I was going to say, do you care to share?
Yeah, I'm actually working on two projects on my own right now in the field of meteorology, in the area of decision support services, as that is the way the NWS is going right now with their IDSS.
Yeah.
And my projects is to, the first project I'm working on is to use weather, historical weather data and historical wait data at Disneyland to predict future wait times based on weather.
Like where storms would be based on historical data around Disneyland?
No, more like the wait times.
Oh.
Based on weather, like.
Right. That's so, and so, okay. That's great.
I feel like that goes hand in hand with the airport thing that you did, you know, delay times, wait times, weather impacts. That's phenomenal. I mean, that's thinking way outside the box. And I think that's very special and unique. And I'm interested to see that coming in 2021.
I'm hoping to present that as well as my other project at the NWA meeting.
Good hopefully. For you. Well, we'll have to make sure that we're there, JP, and listening to you.
And the other project I am working on, I just only recently started it. Mm-hmm. As I thought about it for a long time, but a friend really nudged me to get it started, is to see if there's an impact on baseball and analytics with weather.
That's very interesting as well.
Since I'm a big baseball fan, but I know like there's been a big shift towards analytics become more favored. Yeah. And one thing I'm trying to think is like, what if analytics could be given an extra boost with weather?
I mean, an outdoor sport like baseball, that definitely is, makes sense. I will say you brought up analytics, historical data. Is that something that you are very interested in terms of you're able to look and kind of crunch numbers and understand them?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. That's one of the things that my autism actually enables me to do is zoom in and look for the patterns.
That is so neat, JP. I know that just from other experiences that autism gives you strength as well, and to be able to recognize patterns, that is a huge strength, especially in the field of meteorology. Mm-hmm. Because history, we know it can repeat itself, but historical numbers and getting statistical averages and norms and things of that nature, you know, that's a huge part of weather and climate. So that's really interesting.
Do you have like almost a photographic memory? Will you remember the data that you've, you know, combed through?
I actually use a spreadsheet as I still do forecasting in the Weather Challenge competition.
Oh, I did that in college. Yeah.
I still do it as an alumni.
Good for you.
And I actually did fit a few cities through my strategy of using what I like to call a cheat sheet or
That's awesome.
Scouting report of like, what's the pattern here like? What's the pattern for this city like?
Right.
What would the rain do? And if this going to be a sea breeze or not?
Yeah, I mean, so if you're not familiar with that college, or it's not college, it's for, you know, forecasters in general, but you're given cities and you just have to forecast for them. And as a meteorologist, clearly you get a leg up when you live somewhere for a while, because then you start to recognize the patterns that go on in your own little microclimate. But this challenge is really hard because you'll just be given, let's say, like Reno, Nevada, and you have to do a forecast for 3 days. But like you said, JT, 4 days, you have your little cheat sheet, and that allows you to kind of like look at those patterns, even though you don't live there, and get a more accurate forecast. That's fantastic.
Well, they've changed it up recently. We have to vote on the city, so it takes out like, so it really hooded my cheat sheet, but
whatever, you still created one, which
is exactly
way more than what we could say.
I know in the meteorology community, there's always the grumbling of, you know, data, and it's difficult. It is difficult to comb through that. So it is very awesome to hear that your ability to comb through that data and kind of have an advantage. I mean, I'm a little jealous of that.
Me too.
So let's go back to our little questions that we have here. How has, you know, autism specifically impacted your education and, you know, achieving your goals in meteorology? For anybody that might be nervous to take that, you know, avenue or any goal in general, how did you get past, you know, what could be a difficult thing that you were born with, autism?
Well, I've had to go through a lot of special therapy, as well as some trial and errors.
Yeah.
As I know, I've said stuff that I definitely regretted, as some people on the spectrum would just say stuff and not always get what it means.
Okay. Would you say this is something that you've obviously learned? I would say, when were you first diagnosed with autism, or when were you put on the spectrum?
Actually, I was first diagnosed with global apraxia, or dyspraxia, at age 3.
Okay.
Which basically was that I had limited motor control, like gripping a pencil or walking properly. Okay. And not a good hand-eye coordination. Not to mention I had speech trouble affiliated with it. So I had years of speech therapy as well. Okay. But then I was officially diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome at the end of 5th grade.
Okay.
But Asperger's has since been merged into autism since 2013.
Okay. So I just want to point out that, you know, you said you've gone 3 years of speech therapy. And again, you have chosen a path where you are speaking in this vlog, and you do it so well. So, I mean, I do think that's wonderful, JP, that you continue to grow and, you know, you chose a path that is challenging, you know, when you're in therapy for something that's, mm-hmm. the point is to work on it. But then again, you know, you didn't just do a blog where you're just typing, you did a vlog where you're speaking and presenting, and you do a very good job. So I hope if you haven't, you're continuing to listen with us here. It's called Weathering the Autism Storm. You have a Facebook page, a YouTube channel, correct? And then your Twitter account. Where else can people find this vlog?
That's all I have it on right now.
I thought I got them all, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, as I have an Instagram, but I usually use it just for like photos I take, separate from my vlog usually.
Gotcha.
What kind of feedback have you received from people watching your vlog? I've noticed you've gained more and more subscribers.
I actually hit 100 this morning.
Yay! Way to go.
I'm one of the 100, by the way, subscribed.
We bumped you into that boat.
I wasn't number 100, but I'm 90 something, I think. But what kind of comments are you getting from people watching your vlog?
Like these are definitely helpful.
Good.
Like, good job. And like some other tips that I didn't think about, like drinking tea or something. Or in my latest episode where I talked about holiday season, especially this year of COVID, someone mentioned watching Lord of the Rings.
I watched The Lord of the Rings. My husband and I watched it about a couple of months ago. One of my favorite blogs that you did was about how you've changed your life through the pandemic. And I think that, you know, everybody has had to change the way that they've done things and evolved. And you have a pretty good support system, but you had to learn to do more things on your own. Is that correct?
Not completely.
Well, not completely, but you've had to do a little bit more on your own, right?
Yeah, like, well, I was doing grocery shopping on my own usually, but usually I would be getting a lift to and from the store. Mm-hmm. But since the pandemic, it was pretty much just me walking down to my local Target instead of just going to Safeway.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, you mentioned you have a couple more vlogs coming up. I may have forgotten already, but what kind of weather topics are you planning to do?
I'm hopefully going to get it in next year for rain and winter precipitation, and hopefully in the spring an episode on tornadoes.
Nice, that'll be good. Now, go ahead.
And another episode I have in the future, which I already actually started scripting, is one on earthquakes.
Oh, good, of course, for the West Coast.
Yeah, exactly.
Very, very, very interesting. You are a meteorologist, and I do want to touch on being a weather observer at the airport. What is that like?
Basically, what I do is babysit a computer.
Than that.
It's just like I mainly have to check for clouds and sometimes other stuff like temperature and wind if some of the sensors go down.
Okay. How long have you done that?
I'm almost at the end of my fifth year or sixth year, so...
Good for you. And then I'm assuming the data then in terms of cloud cover that's gained from the sensors, is that used for aviation reports?
What I put in for the clouds gets used for the aviation reports. And nice. The data that I usually send actually goes out to you too and also broadcasters.
Right.
Well, how did you find this job and how did you get this job?
I actually found it at my department. Like there was a flyer in the department.
When you were in school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like my junior year, there was a flyer up about the job, and I was like, might as well apply.
Right.
That's awesome. Trying to think if there was something else that I wanted to ask you. I think we kind of hit all the topics.
Yeah. I would say, so when you're being a weather observer going on 5 years, that's really interesting. You're also super involved with the national NWA. Is there anything else in the meteorology world that you are involved in or that you hope to get involved in maybe in the future?
I'm actually involved on the, I've been pretty more involved in the AMS.
Okay.
Like when I was in school, I was on the student chapter of the AMS. Even serving as school vice president my junior year.
Nice.
But I also...
Go ahead. Oh, I was saying you talked about presenting at the NWA. Have you presented at the NWA before?
Both AMS and NWA.
He's an old pro.
Yeah. I've never presented. So again, you're doing more things than I've done. What were the topics that you discussed? Do you remember?
Pretty much the cloud accretion I discussed earlier on the show at San Francisco.
Yeah. Now, did they do anything with your changes you made to the cloud equation? Like, did it go any further than just presenting, I wonder?
No one's really reached out to me about it.
Okay. Very, I mean, that's like fascinating.
I know. I'm interested to see the baseball one that you're going to start working on. That's interesting because I think, as Kirstie mentioned, there's a lot of outdoor sports. And when it comes, I think golf right away and how impactful, right. You know, even just the threat of lightning nearby and how that could be a thing. So maybe I'm giving you more ideas, JP, of where you can take it next.
Yeah, JP, I'll share a story with you, actually. A couple of years ago, I interviewed three gentlemen, and there was a fourth, and they were all golfing together, and they all got struck by lightning and lived, which is A, very rare to be struck by lightning, and then B, even rarer to survive it, and they all survived. But they were just playing around to golf, and where they were was a kind of a higher elevation on the course, and there was a storm that was close enough, and it was kind of, I mean, it had just started to storm, and they were all struck. They think is probably the same bolt and traveled through one of the men, and then a lot of them caught the ground current as well. So, yeah, the impact that storms and weather have on outdoor activities, Disney World, like you had mentioned, and baseball, it's going to be very interesting. And I like that you think impact-based because that is really how we should, you know, kind of approach what our forecasts are for and how they can actually help people and hopefully save lives and property.
Well, one thing we got in my baseball project is that I'm more looking into like how players can adapt to it. Like
their swing and stuff or like.
Like, for example, I'm looking at one pitcher data right now.
Oh, okay.
Like try and see if there's a major difference in and how much his pitches break horizontally and vertically.
That's
with regards to different weather conditions, like if density or humidity has even a part in it.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. And I don't know why I keep going back to golf. Maybe I like golf more than baseball. Don't judge me, JP. But I think of like hitting a golf ball and how does the golf ball travel and different kind of, you know, like you said, humidity, wind speed, that kind of thing. I do have a question about earthquakes because you do live on the West Coast and we don't have a ton of earthquakes where we are. Do you have a lot of earthquakes where you are and have you done any studying on earthquakes?
I have not done any studying, but I've definitely been through a few.
I was going to say, have you experienced any? That would be nerve-wracking. We had one that was strong enough I actually felt when I lived in Youngstown, Ohio. But again, we're talking like very weak compared to what you can experience on the West Coast.
Well, I actually felt too where I am right now, like, and they were only like at the low end of the falls.
Yeah.
The biggest I actually remember is 5.6.
How old was that, recent or?
The 5.6?
Yeah.
I remember when it happened. The night before Halloween of my freshman year of high school.
Oh, wow. Was it the first earthquake you've experienced then, or?
That I really remember feeling like, actually felt. Since there was one a few years before then I didn't really feel.
Okay.
But I say definitely was some shaking a bit, but I didn't feel it.
Yeah, that would be a little scary for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, JP, as we wrap this up, I just want to ask, obviously we know you've got a lot on your plate because you're a very busy man with all your new projects. But for anybody that might be a little nervous during COVID, again, autism or not, what do you have to say to someone who might be also wondering, should I start this new project? I'm a little nervous. You know, what did you tell yourself to like get yourself out there and go for it?
It was like, we don't know how long this thing's going to be. Plus, I wanted to do something different.
Good for you. Well, we appreciate you joining us, JP. Real quickly, go over with everybody one more time. How can they find you on social media? And then how can they watch Weathering the Autism Storm, your vlog?
You can find my Twitter at WXTHEAUTISM.
Okay.
STRM.
And then
hang on, let me just make sure that's correct.
That's okay.
I can't always remember if there's an O or not in the Twitter one.
I'm the same way. I think I have a couple of user handles and I don't remember which is which.
I know. You always have to like shorten things down for different social media handles. So it's always
yeah, no O in it. So that's okay. Correct.
So that's correct. And then your vlog
is Wrestling the Autism Storm. Like the entire words itself.
Okay. And then you're on Facebook as well. And that's also Weathering the Autism Storm, correct?
Yep.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to have to check back in with you, JP, as you've got these projects that have really caught our attention, or maybe we'll see you at the NWA conference when you're able to present.
Of the AMS.
Or AMS. Yes. Yes. But it's been really great. Really great talking to you. And I want to thank you as well for reaching out to us on Twitter, because it is fun in the weather community to meet new people and stick together. And we appreciate you coming on and waking up early. I don't know if you're an early riser or not, but remember, we're recording this at noon, but he's on the West Coast. So we had to pick a time a little later so I didn't push him too far to wake up too early. So thank you, JP.
Yes, we appreciate it. And, you know, we'll be chatting back and forth on Twitter. So if you follow Kirsty and I, you'll see us chatting with JP. And be sure to give him a follow and follow his vlog, because it really is interesting. And if you've ever watched something on YouTube and you think, oh, this video is so long, or, you know, whatever you think about it, JP, I love that you script everything out. I love that you have a clear, concise topic that you're talking about. And they are very engaging. So keep up the good work.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And if you're a new subscriber to Cloudy with a Chance of Podcast, you can download, subscribe, listen, rate on your podcast app, Google Play, Stitcher. We even have the audio on WHIO.com. If you want to watch this video version, the vlog version of it, head over to your WHIO app on your Roku, Amazon Fire, or Apple TV devices. Once again, thank you, JP, for joining us. And for all of our listeners and watchers, we'll see you next time.